welcome friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth Time once again, and I'm happy to say I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, friend, if He isn't yours, He can be. If He isn't yours, He wants to be. If He isn't yours, the Word of God teaches us in Luke 19 and 10 that He came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm happy that you've tuned in to the program today. And Debbie and I both pray that we will be a blessing to you, that we'll bring glory to God, and that we'll edify you in some degree, that we will be a blessing as we invest time together. I've opened my Bible today to the book of Job, right after the book of Esther, right before the book of Psalm, and I'm going to read verse 1 of chapter 1 for my text. Verse 4, this message about a man by the name of Job. But before I do that, Debbie has a song. She's got it queued up and tuned up and ready to play. And guess what the title of it is? The title of it is Job. It's just that simple. Now, I don't know that I've ever played it on this radio program. It's kind of fast and upbeat. But I want you to listen to the message of it, because it goes along with the message God has laid on my heart today for fathers. It's Father's Day at the least of the airing of this program originally. And I want to wish Happy Father's Day to each and every one of you gentlemen. Oh, it's a mighty thing to be a dad, is it not? Anybody can father a child. It's another thing altogether to be a dad. It certainly is. And all friend, God will give us the grace. He has equipped us to be fathers, to be dads. And I've got some things from the book of Job, the first two chapters of the book of Job, that I think that will be helpful for us in our quest, in our endeavor to be godly men, to be men that fear God and that lead our family, that love our family, that provide for our family, that care for our family, protect our family. And I pray that you'd pray for this old country preacher as he seeks to edify the believer, glorify God, and present the Word of God in a way that will edify everybody that hears. Hey, I want at the end of this program for you, sir, for you, ma'am, even you, ma'am, yes, even you, ma'am, to say, wow, I'm glad that I heard God speak. Well, you pray for Debbie as she does the song Job, and soon as she gets done, I'll be back at the end of her song, and I'll share with you the message out of the book of Job God has laid on my heart. Enjoy, I think you will.
There was a man whose name was Job, who lived in a land of us. He was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. He was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. He was. Then Satan came walking to and fro. Consider my servant Job. Satan said, take all he has, and he will curse you to your face. Then Job lost all he had, and all that he could say. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Be the name of the Lord. There was a man whose name was Job, who lived in a land of us. He was. He was a perfect, upright man who feared the Lord. He was. be the name of the Lord. He was a perfect upright man who feared the Lord. He was. Job was a perfect upright man.
Well, I like that, and I hope you did too, and goes right along, like I said, with the message God has laid on my heart today for this Father's Day. Now, I'm going to read two verses of Scripture out of the book of Job, and not coincidentally, God knows what He's doing. I'm going to read the first verse of this book and the last verse of this book, and that's really what Debbie's song was about. Listen to what the Word of God records about Job. There was a man of the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now look at verse 17 of chapter 42. So Job died, being old and full of days. You know what that last phrase means, being old and full of days? It means that Job died satisfied with life. Hey, listen, sir. I want you and me as fathers to one day look back on our life, look back on our occupation, look back on our privilege, look back on our responsibility and say, I'm satisfied. Wouldn't that be a great testimony? Isn't that a great testimony? And I'm sad to say that there are only two other men of the Word of God, if I remember correctly, that died satisfied with life. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? So, you know what I'm thinking today? I'm thinking that the Word of God gives us opportunity to learn lessons from Job. This man, the Word of God says, was perfect and upright. Now, when it says perfect, it didn't mean that he was sinless, but it does mean that he was blameless. I mean, Job was a great man. He was and here's my text, a man of renown. Job was a man of fame. Job was a man that people talked about in his day as well as people talk about him in our day. Many people, even the unchurched, the ungodly, have heard about a man by the name of Job who suffered much. And he did. It seems to me that he's the greatest example of a man suffering as any one that has ever lived throughout the ages of time. But Job was a very unique man. The Bible said again that he was perfect, meaning that he was blameless. He was without moral blemish. He wasn't perfect. He sinned. Oh, look, if you read his whole book, and many people just read chapter 1 and 2 and then pick it up chapter 42 and leave everything else off. That you'll see Job struggling. You'll see him as a man with pride. And, oh, he did have integrity. He did have great character. He did have great faith and trust in God. But, look, folks, he was a man just like me and you. He struggled with life. He questioned God. He wondered where God was. He thought he was able to have an audience with God. Many things about Job are unique and wonderful and expressive of both who and what you and I are. But Job, he was a man. He feared God. He was in awe of God. He reverenced God. He submitted to the majesty of God. He hated evil. He rejected those things that would go against the character of God. And look, friend, look, he was a great man. But let me assure you again that he was a man. I'm thankful the Word of God has done what the Word of God has done. I'm glad God inspired the writers of the Word of God to tell us about men who were men and women just like you and I. Men and women of the flesh. Men and women who live by faith. And that's what Job did. But listen to what the Word of God says about Job, and I'm going to read it again. There was a man in the land of Uz. This isn't a make-up story like you'd make up with the kids when you go to sleep with them at night or put them to bed at night. And you make up a little story and tell them something that everybody can laugh about and get tickled at, like Debbie does my grandchildren when they stay here at the house. There was a man to the name of Lot who lived in the land of Uz, and he was perfect. He was upright. He was one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now you say, what do you get out of that preacher? Well, I want you to know first of all that Job had right priorities. Oh, look, friend, the greatest thing that I know anything about in the life of man or woman is that they are to fear God. The Bible says the beginning of knowledge is to fear the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is to fear the Lord, and Job feared God. He had right priorities. He knew about eternity, I think, as well as Job could, according to chapter 14 and chapter 20 and other places that Job gives reference to that time and to that period. Job knew about the God of creation. Job knew about His power, His position. Oh, he knew about His blessings, His benefits, and His abilities. And Job, friend, Job in his life and in his family had his priorities right. Oh, he was rich. I mean to tell you, he was rich. And we'll make reference of that. He was rich physically and spiritually. He was rich in money and servants and in stuff. But oh, he was richer spiritually as he feared God and wanted to do His bidding, wanted to honor Him, wanted to reverence Him, wanted to glorify Him and all that He was and all that He did. There are people that say you can't be rich and serve God. You can't be rich and be a Christian. You can't be rich and live for the Lord, but you can. By the grace of God, you can. Friend, listen, there are godly people that prosper physically and have all kinds of stuff and are able by the grace of God to know how to live with it and what to do with it. And Job was one of those kind of men. Not only did Job have right priorities, but Job refused to let his success ruin him. Listen to what he said. The Bible said in verse 3, his substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 mules, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest man of all the East. Listen, friend, he had it. I mean to tell you, he was successful. I mean, the devil said to God, said, look, you blessed Job and everything that he did. Everything, you've heard somebody say something like this, everything that he touches turns to gold. That's what Satan accused God of doing for Job. Satan was saying to God, look, you blessed him. You've hedged him in and about. Everything he's thought of, everything he's tried, everything he's invested in, everything that he's purchased, everywhere he's went, every business deal that he entered in, you blessed it, God. You've touched it. When he touched it, it's turned to gold. I mean, it's like your hand is upon him. But I'll tell you what, you take all that away and Job will curse you to your face, and Job will turn his back on you. Job's just serving you because you blessed him. Oh, look, Job had his priorities right. He refused to let his success ruined him. It didn't get in his way. He knew it was a blessing from God. He knew that naked he came into this world and naked he had returned hither. And he blessed the Lord in saying that. And we'll see more of that in just a little while. But Job knew what his priorities was. He knew that he was only here for a period of time. He knew that he needed to live right so that he could die right. He knew that one day he'd give a reckoning to God for his stewardship. He knew that everything that he had in his hand, everything that he could lay claim to, everything that he quote unquote possessed, he knew Excuse me, that it was a gift from God. He knew that it was because God had blessed him. He knew that God had moved on his life and opened doors of blessing and prosperity up for him. But oh, listen to me, friend. Listen to the Spirit of God. He did not let his success get in his way. How many men have climbed the ladder of success at the expense of his family? How many men have gone to the pinnacle of the business world or whatever else I could say successfully in sports or anything else in academia, wherever it might be at the expense of their family. Hey, they may have gained in worldly things, but they lost in familial things. They lost their family. They lost the love of their life. They lost the respect of their children. They lost throughout. But all Job had his priorities right as he was going up. He never lost sight of who he was, never lost sight of whose he was, and never lost sight of what God had given to him. But let's read on. Look at verse 5. And it was so when the days of feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, speaking of his children who had celebrated in their houses on everybody's birthday. They just had a good time. He rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them offered. Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." The Bible said that Job did this continually. You know what? Job was realistic about his children. He was realistic about his children. He took the responsibility of being a father very, very serious. He loved them. No doubt in my mind, he was proud of them. No doubt he didn't brag on them to others. No doubt he was happy to say, "Hey, let me introduce to you my children, my family." But Job was realistic about their sin nature. Job was realistic about the potential that they had to disobey God. Job was serious about his position as high priest of his family. Now look, things have changed since the law of Moses was enacted. Things have changed even greater than that since the law of love at Calvary was enacted by Jesus and who He is and what He has done and what He continues to do today. Although a father is no longer a high priest to offer sacrifices as Job did for his family, listen to me. Thank God we're still responsible for them. We're responsible to lead them. We're responsible to give them instruction and direction and leave an example for our children so that they might know how to live for God, how to relate with God, how to communicate with God, how to commune with God, how to worship God. Listen, Job, he was realistic about his children, and he took his responsibility of loving them, of praying for them, of living right before them, of leading them right. He took his responsibility of fatherhood, of being a dad. He took it very, very seriously. But you know what? You know what? The Bible teaches us here in the book of Job. You begin reading in verse 13, read down through verse 22, and I don't have time to do it today. You'll find that Job was richer spiritually than he was naturally. Oh, this man, we already found out that he was rich in sheep and camel and oxen and mules and servants. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had a great, great household. But if you begin to look, after Job got bad news at what he did, after Job heard messenger after messenger give him a bad news after bad news, when he began to hear about the Sabines that came, when he heard about the fire that fell from heaven, when he heard about the wind blowing the house down where his children was, when he heard about the Chaldeans coming stealing away his livestock. Oh, look, I'm telling you, Job was richer spiritually than he was physically. Job said, listen, he rent his mantle after he heard all this. He shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Oh my, said, naked came I into this world. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I'm telling you, he was richer spiritually than he was physically. Oh, he had a lot, did he not? He was a rich man. He was greater than all the men of the East. And I'll tell you, friend, but what he had wasn't physically that was tangible, that he could touch, that he could count, that he could see, that he could smell, that he could hold. Hey, it wasn't as much as he had in his relationship with Yahweh, with Jehovah, with the Almighty God. It wasn't as great. It wasn't as valuable with him and to him as his relationship was with God Almighty. So you know what Job did? Job refused to relinquish his life's principle, regardless of what happened to him. Listen to what it says in verse 7 and following of chapter 2. Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the head of his foot and the crown from the sole of his foot unto his crown. He took him a potsherd, scraped himself withal, sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Cursed God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Speakest what? Shall we receive good of the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He refused to relinquish his life's principles regardless of the circumstances that were around him. You know what Job realized? He recognized, friend, that God was sovereign. He recognized that God had sovereign rights over both him and all that he had. He knew that his blessings had come from God. He knew that all of his benefits had come from God. He knew that all of his opportunities had come from God. He saw himself as a man. He saw himself to a degree as a lump of clay. He saw himself made from the dust of the earth. He understood that he was what he was by the grace of God. By the grace of God, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:10, the beginning of that verse says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." I believe Job knew that. I believe Job lived like that. And all, we'd be wise to do that. Job, even regardless of what was going on in his life, and it was a very dark time in his life, very, very dark. Job refused to relinquish his life's principles, what he lived with, what he lived for. He knew he needed to retain them so he could die right. Oh, his love for God wasn't tied up in his wealth, wasn't tied up in his health. And that's what Satan said to God. Satan said, "God, if you take all that he has, he'll curse you." And God allowed Satan to remove them. Satan went to God and said, "Look, I know that didn't work, but if you put sore disease on him, if you take away his health, he'll curse you to your face." God told Satan, "You touch him. You touch him physically, but don't you touch his soul." And boy, Satan did, and he put him in a very bad affliction. And you know what Job did? Job maintained his integrity. Job refused to relinquish his life's principles, regardless of what happened to him physically. He knew his spiritual principles were more important than the physical things that he had. Let me give you one final one, because my time's running out. If we'd jump over to chapter 42, we'd find that God rewarded Job in a great way. Oh, he increased his personal knowledge of God. That's what the greatest blessing that God gave to Job was. You say, "Preacher, but didn't he restore to him wealth fourfold?" Yeah, he did. Didn't he give him 7 sons and 3 daughters, and they were more beautiful than any other of the women in that land? Yes, he did. I want you to know that God blessed Job with a greater knowledge of him. Himself. God blessed Job with a greater revelation of himself to Job. That's greater. That revelation is greater than any blessing that God could lay upon him physically. Oh, Job got to know God. Got to know God better. Job got to hear God more clearly. Job got to be in a place with God and before God in a way that he'd never been before. Job got to be in a place where God could bless him like he couldn't bless him before. Oh, God had blessed Job. And without a doubt, God I'd bless Job. But oh, I'll tell you, when we get to the end of this book, when we get to the silence of all three miserable comforters, when we hear the discourse of Eliphaz, the young man, when we hear God, when we hear God speaking with Job, taking Job to a place that Job had never been, to a place where he could hear God more clearly, place where he could see God more plainly, to a place where his knowledge of God could increase. Oh, listen, Job, thank God, was more blessed in the end, greater than he was in the beginning. He was rewarded in a greater way in the personal knowledge that he had gained with God than he had been naturally. Well, I'm telling you, Job was a man of renown. You can be, sir. You can be if you do the things that Job did. If you just submit your life to God, if you just let right and righteousness rule your life, I'm telling you, hey, if you live by right principles, if you refuse certain things, if you're realistic, God will make you rich, friend. He'll reward you greatly. Hey, happy Father's Day until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours. And you